Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. Hi, property lovers. In this podcast episode, we're going to look at the state of the market. We don't normally cover this because the market changes so rapidly. However, I think there was a significant change or shift in the market just this week. So, spoiler alert, it's probably not what you think, but it's good stuff to know. Take a listen. What I wanted to share with you today was the state of our market, because it's quite interesting what's going on right now. We seem to have hit a funny sort of calm before a storm, a lot of uncertainty. And yet in most states, the property market is going up. If you look at CoreLogic data, and they keep their finger on the pulse with this sort of stuff, their latest data has said that auction clearance rates are really high. In fact, people are selling properties at record prices. That the market has bottomed. So it fell peak to trough only about 8%, and now it's going up again, albeit only by a few percentage points, but still that's big when you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is that an indication? Are we out of the woods, or are there a few other factors at play? One thing that is definitely driving the market and happening right now is that there are, whilst there are still buyers out there, albeit fewer buyers, there's even less sellers. So, you know, the old law of supply and demand. Yes, there's still some demand, less demand because of uncertainties and economic headwinds, but even less supply. So people have just decided not to sell their houses, and sellers are hanging on waiting for better times or more certainty. So what does that mean? I mean, I'm talking high level here. There are pockets and areas, and there's distress where people are going to sell eventually. But what's really going on, and what's happening with interest rates? Because as we know, credit markets, people's availability or access to money or funds using other people's money to buy property will dictate what's happened and what happens in a property market. In 2017, when banks stopped lending to investors, we saw the property market fall because investors couldn't get loans anymore and they just left the market, which meant there were far fewer buyers. Really, it was predominantly owner-occupiers, which meant there were far more sellers than buyers, and so prices fell. But that's an example of credit markets, availability of finance, driving what happens to property prices. And we're at a similar place here. If we rewind back to 2021, we had interest rates at 0.1%. We had the government pumping money into the economy. We had JobKeeper, we had HomeBuilder, and we had a whole lot of people who weren't going out. Restaurants weren't open. They couldn't spend money. Where did they put it? They put it into property. And we saw the property market go up because money was cheap. Interest rates are the price of money. They're the reward we get when we save and we put our money in a term deposit. And they're the cost that we pay when we buy money, when we use other people's money. So really low rates means it's not attractive to save your money. Where are you going to put it? What are you going to get for it? A pittance. So people go out and spend it. And they spend it on things like property. And people who are borrowing money get that money really, really cheaply. So think of it a bit like going out partying really hard and everyone's woken up with a hangover. They went and spent a whole lot of money when rates were 0.1%. And now rates are sitting at
4.1%. What they're saying is going to happen from here on in, though, is many economists, like National Australia Bank came out this week and said, we're probably going to see two more rate rises of 0.25% each. That will take rates to 4.6%. What will happen from there is that the market will probably turn. The reason for that is that a lot of people will be put to the point of mortgage stress. So a lot of homeowners will have half their incomes spent on loan repayments if rates rise in July and August. So Canstar came out with a report about that. And what they said is someone who bought a home when the median price was $800,000 in April 2022, before the rate rises started, when rates were at 0.1%, they could pay $4,500 per month if the cash rate goes up to 4.6%. That's going to be 55% of their income. So the pace of these rate rises, like 12 odd rises in 13 months, has caused an unprecedented escalation in the amount of household income that is being earmarked to have to make mortgage repayments. So they're expecting a further two hikes, as I said. But what was interesting that came out yesterday, so the Reserve Bank puts out their minutes of meetings 2 weeks after the Reserve Bank actually meets. So they meet on the first Tuesday in every month, and then on the third Tuesday of the month, they release the minutes of their meeting. And everyone thought last month, well, it was a foregone conclusion, rates would go up as of June. And they thought that the Reserve Bank didn't really deliberate very much. But as it turned out, they did. They actually thought long and hard about it, and it was like a coin toss. They almost didn't raise rates. We found out yesterday when they released their minutes. They were balancing up a people in pain, and they were like, yeah, people are hurting. But on the other hand, how risky is it to just let inflation go unchecked? They decided the inflation risk was greater, and they thought we'll have one more rate rise to tackle that. Whether or not it's done its job, we don't know. They're still predicting more rate rises to come. But what we have seen is that rates have gone up and that homeowners are in a lot of mortgage stress. So this is what Canstar put out, and it's basically what the house price was before rates started rising. So what the average price, median price of a house was, what people would have borrowed, assuming they had a 20% deposit, and what the average income is of a couple in that city. So, for example, the first line there, we can see that the median house price in Sydney was 1.4 million back in April 2022, before rates took off. When people borrowed at that time, they would have been working it out, and the bank would have worked it out on a Reserve Bank rate of 0.1%. So people would have signed up at interest rates of 2%. Now, banks stress test you. Banks, if the rate's 2%, they won't lend you based on 2%, because they're going to go, well, hang on a minute, rates may rise. So banks take that into account. APRA, the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, dictates how banks should work out serviceability. So if I'm going to borrow and it's 2022, beginning of 22, and rates, I'm paying 2%. What APRA said to banks is you should allow 2% above what they're paying now. So the banks would have assessed me at 4%. They would have said, can you afford it at 4%? And they would have said, yeah, you can. Here's the thing though, rates are now 4.1%. They may even go up to 4.6%. No one's ever tested me at that level. That's uncharted waters. So back to our table here, we can see this is what people people would be paying what they're earning, $187,000. After they've had their tax taken out, it's $141,000. And if we look then at these numbers, we can see nationally, people borrowed at $800,000 odd, and they put in 20% of their own money. On a national level, then they borrowed $650,000 odd. Nationally, a couple's average take-home pay is about $121,000. After tax, it's less than $100,000. So more than half of that is spent on paying their mortgage. If we look at mortgage stress by city there, we can see exactly what's happening. So in Sydney, $187,000 income means that people are paying more than 50% of their salary on their mortgage, and it goes down across Australia. Darwin, they're best off. Average income is lower, but they're only spending 41% on the mortgage. But mortgage stress happens at 30%. That's the accepted rule of thumb. If you're devoting more than 30% of your take-home pay to paying your mortgage, you are in mortgage stress. Add to that, that if we're spending, you know, in the 40s, 40 to 50% of our income on paying our loans, then we've got, you know, between 50 and 60% left over to live off, to buy our groceries and our petrol and everything else. Problem there is that of that money, the dollar doesn't go as far anymore either, because we're paying more for our groceries and our bread and our services, and we're not earning that much more. Wages haven't kept pace with inflation. That's kind of a good thing, the Reserve Bank tells us, and the Governor, Philip Lowe, says if we had wages going up to meet the increased cost of living, then we'd have a wage price spiral. So in other words, wages would go up so we could afford it, but because wages go up and, you know, businesses have to pay their staff more, they put their prices up, and then their staff say, well, I need to get more wages because prices have gone up, and so it goes on. That's what happened in the 90s. That's what we're trying to avoid now. And the Reserve Bank says, yeah, the pain has to come somewhere. It's kind of like that hangover, too much debt, too much spending. Someone has to pay the piper. And what the Reserve Bank is kind of saying is, we've partied too hard on debt. It's time to have a Barocca or an Alka-Seltzer the morning after, but the headache, we have to have the pain. It's a day of reckoning, and that's playing out now. And people kind of know that. So what that has meant is that we've got rising mortgage stress. People are feeling the pain. They're at risk of loss. And the inflation problem is not getting any better. So our inflation fears are escalating. So the Reserve Bank has a sole focus on managing inflation. They've said it's a narrow path we're treading. We're trying not to crash the economy, but if we do fall into a recession, so be it. And they're already pulling out that dangerous R word, recession. Now they're saying Australia is close to a recession. And that's, the ratings agencies like Fitch's and Standard & Poor's, they're looking at how much we owe, how much we earn, and whether we're having negative growth as an economy. And they're kind of saying, yeah, we're set up for negative growth. Now, part of the reason of that is how we feel as a nation. So we've gone beyond the stress testing thresholds, as we said. If we look at consumer sentiment, and that's one of the things they measure in an economy, we can see that we are very fearful. So people are very afraid. The Consumer Confidence Index, so ANZ do a Roy Morgan poll monthly, or weekly actually, and they say that for the past 4 weeks that we have had our consumers are feeling very pessimistic. So 100 is even. We're neither hopeful or, you know, too pessimistic. Anything below 100 means there's more pessimists than optimists. And future economic conditions is at its lowest since the pandemic. Can you imagine that? It was pretty depressing in the pandemic, wasn't it? People, we were so unsure. We didn't even know what COVID was. Suddenly we weren't allowed out of our homes. Everyone was very uncertain. You can imagine consumer the confidence would fall. Well, it's actually worse now. So have a look at this. This is the Roy Morgan poll when it comes to consumer confidence. And how we feel about current financial conditions. Financial conditions means what we're spending, what we're earning. Are we happy with it? Can we make ends meet? And the answer is no. Look, you can see there it's below what it was in 2020 in the pandemic. And in fact, it's an all-time low, nearly 60. Remember, 100 is even. 100 is when either optimistic or pessimistic. So it's lower than the global financial crisis and it's lower than the pandemic. And it tends to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Remember, Roosevelt said we have nothing to fear but fear itself in the Great Depression. In other words, if we're afraid, then we spend less, then we hoard our money. If we spend less, then the economy earns less, then people become unemployed because they're not needed because no one's spending and the whole economy contracts. So we're staring at down the barrel of that as well. Very much a knife's edge now, as I said, in terms of property prices, they're going up, and yet all of this seems to be playing out in the background. A lot of people are fearful, and maybe they've got just cause to be. What does that mean for our market? Well, I guess we have to watch this space and wait for the Reserve Bank meeting next month, beginning of July. In terms of the beginning of July, we'll have more information out then. But the other thing that I wanted to share with you, if you haven't already reserved your seat, for the first time in a year, we are actually traveling and coming face-to-face with our property lovers community in every state. So next weekend after this, we're live in Sydney at our Property Mavericks live event. We're also, after that, live in Perth. We're going all the way over to Perth. We haven't been to Perth in 2.5 years. So if you're watching from Perth, make sure you click on the link and get your spot there. It's a fully catered event, lots of networking with like-minded peers and industry experts. I'm going to share the latest in property technology, prop tech, what's happening there, what it can mean for you, absolute game changer. But I'm also going to share things that I haven't shared before. Played it a little bit safe recently. So after Perth, we're in Brisbane and then finishing up in Melbourne. So make sure you register for your city just to catch up live. Something happens magically at live events, but also because I'm really going to share with you where the distress is, what it means for you. And there's 4 D's of distress. There are developers under a bit of duress now. They bought in 21, 22 at the peak of the market. Market's gone down. They can't get funding for their sites. And yet there's a perfect storm of an affordability crisis. Lots of migrants coming into the country and a housing shortage and a perfect storm for developments. Also distress, a lot of people in mortgage stress, and yet there are win-win outcomes. If you know how to find them and structure a deal, and that's what we've been proficient at for the last 12 years in our community, but never seen a market like this. This is the gold rush that a lot of people have been waiting for. On top of that, there are demographically, there are factors, there are a lot of downsizers now in this market. So we had a massive, massive population boost post-World War II, the baby boomers. That big generation, you can imagine, the more people in economy at working age, the more people earning more as they grow older, the more people who have money to burn. Remember the heady days of the 80s when all of those baby boomers reached peak spending? They all had children. They sent them to schools, private schools. They got new cars. They upgraded to bigger homes. They spent more and more. There was massive economic growth. Well, then we had the global financial crisis. The boomers have kept on working, but now they're reaching a point where they're retiring en masse. That means a lot of properties are going to be sold and indeed are ready to come on the market. And it's not a matter of price for downsizers. They've made a lot of money over time. time, but it's a matter of needing to leave the market now or to downsize. So demographically a lot coming on. And then there are the usual ones that have to sell anyway. Deceased estates, the owner's died, it's going to meet the market. So I'm going to be sharing those sorts of deals, how prop tech fits in there, and how there's a lot of people needing to sell, and the way the market has conspired against them means they need help right now. You're in a position with the right knowledge to help them, and I'm going to be sharing all that with you live. So it is a watershed moment. Love to see you live in your capital city. The link's there. Register for that event, and we will catch up in July, where there'll be a lot more to tell. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.